Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? This is Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Right now I'm talking with a dude who is like is definitely a personification of death metal here in the Northwest. Drawn and Quartered is his band. Herb Burke, the bassist, vocalist for this band. They just released, well, this year. I feel like time is very strange right now, 2021. This year, they released their eighth full-length album, Congregation Pestilence. It's available now. They're confirmed for Northwest Terror Fest 2022. So a lot of really cool things going. How are you doing tonight, man?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not bad. Doing pretty good. What are you sipping on there? Was that some wine or a beer?
No, this is a very tasty beer. It's actually from Fremont Brewing.
Cool.
Goblet here going on. It's their Dark Star, their Imperial Oatmeal Stout. It's 8%.
Wow.
Just
nice. Right, yeah. On, man. Well, okay. So I was going to ask, do you live in Seattle? Do you live in Tacoma these days or in Seattle?
Yeah, I'm still live in Seattle. All of us live in town or close-ish still. So everyone else lives pretty much on the outskirts. I live more in the main city.
So I talked with Kelly last year, and that was before the album, before you guys recorded the album, I believe. I was curious about this new album, Congregation Pestilence. Was this an album that was 100% like a pandemic project? Did you guys write and record it during the pandemic, or was it worked on beforehand and whatnot?
It was actually in progress a long time before the pandemic. It's actually kind of a mixture of some songs, some of which are somewhat old and the rest of which are somewhat older. Began as what we presumed, envisioned to probably be like a split recording of four newly written songs, composed probably what, 3 years ago maybe, started working on them. It kind of went in fits and starts for a couple reasons. The split thing kind of came and went. Long story short, we got to the point finally of getting the songs completed, getting them recorded a little more recently. Then also decided to make a full length out of it. Recorded also five songs that we'd had on the Proliferation of Disease demo a few years back, 16 or something like that. Songs that we'd had in the live set from time to time. So we knew them well. We were able to, didn't require a lot of extra preparation other than the extra recording time. And so it was, kind of started, 2-3 years ago. And then was basically completed during the pandemic, was recorded during the pandemic. I wrote the lyrics for the title track entirely within the pandemic, but that's actually the only one. There's a couple of other kind of plague themed songs on the record. But those were actually written, or at least started, well beforehand, but that's also been a theme that we've gone to lyrically for years, actually back to the very beginning of the band.
Yeah. I mean, your band was started as Plague Bearer, if that's correct. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that is correct.
So, I mean, that's, you guys are the perfect band for this time.
Yep. Here we come.
Yes. So how did you handle things like personally, like where how'd you stay sane? I mean, other than, you know, I'm assuming you guys probably practiced the whole time, or did you guys take a break, or you guys stay consistent with it?
We rehearsed more or less consistently. You know, when first went down, we didn't really, because
yeah,
no one knows what's up. But you know, it became pretty quickly evident that, you know, we were just going to make the decision that we were going to, you know, get together and rehearse. Yep. And, you know, everyone's being, you know, taking reasonable precautions otherwise to keep from getting sick. And so then we pretty much, you know, more or less consistently then worked through the pandemic. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people, you know, were unemployed for portions of the period. A lot of people just worked straight through as frontline or whatever their jobs were. Were you working your regular full-time job the whole time, or were you, you know, laid off, or what was?
No, I was lucky in that I was able to, I've kept my job.
Yeah.
The summer of 2020, it's been time, like you said, it's been gotten really weird.
Right.
The summer of 2020, I was like at halftime, but otherwise I've pretty much been able to keep my job and keep work going, which is good.
So being that, you know, there weren't, at least for a long time, it's interesting going back to shows. I just saw Obituary last week. I was like, this is so weird to be back at shows. It was cool though. It was a much needed treat, you know, but for the longest time, you know, 17, 16 months, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, there weren't any shows or weren't allowed to be shows for a long time. What did you do to fill your time that otherwise you would be out at, you know, watching these bands you love?
Personally, more mainly just like, you know, sitting at home and drinking and getting baked.
There you go.
And listening to music, wasting time, and, you know, band wise, and like we kind of talked about, just kind of kept working.
Yeah.
Took advantage of it, actually. So we didn't have to be distracted by focusing on a live set or anything like that. So also some newer material that's actually completed and looking toward the future as well.
So a question I've been asking, you know, I've been talking with quite a few bands through the pandemic and whatnot. That's actually been something that's kept me sane, is, you know, just being able to have conversations like this and try to, you know, stay busy myself. One thing I've been asking is, you know, if you're having like a rough day through the pandemic, like a lot of us have had, you know, just whether it be mentally or just, you know, you're frustrated, what's an album that you can go to that's just like a constant, like, okay, just pick it up, and that's just like a good one always to put you back in a good spot? Is there an album that you can think of, maybe a couple?
I don't know. I suppose it's kind of a little bit depends on the, you know, maybe the specific mood. Sure. I mean, I can say most recently that, you know, pretty much all I've been listening to is Senjutsu. So that's
King New Maiden.
Otherwise, you know, sometimes if I'm just like, you know, full of rage, I'll go put on something like, you know, Antaeus Blood Libels or something that's just pure fucking murder.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once in a while, something sort of in between will be good. But usually it's either something that's, you know, maybe something that's a little like left field and like more really, you know, chill, but usually it's going to be something that's probably pretty harsh and, you know, is the, you know, kind of the equivalent of just grinding someone's head in.
I like it. And you can hear that from the new Drawn and Quartered. It's very harsh sounding at times. Like it's very, and that's a wonderful thing for Drawn and Quartered. You know, It's not easy listening, I'll tell you that much.
No, we actually, though, the sound of it is probably our best yet.
Yeah.
The production quality of it that Drew Sear was able to help us get was just fantastic.
So I'm curious about going back to, you know, so we've probably talked about this. We've had you in the studio before, but I figured, you know, it's always nice to catch up, and we could go over some of this stuff again, if you don't mind. You know, you guys started, you know, from Play Bear, you started Drawn and Quartered back in, like, going back to 1994. Is that right?
Yeah, the Plague Bear, Kelly and I started working together in that band in 93.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, pretty early on, kind of when bands around here were first starting to try and, you know, play heavy style.
So I know about, you know, like, metal bands, obviously, throughout, like, you know, obviously there's, like, the classic heavy metal bands, and then there's bands like Accused that were doing more like hardcore and thrash and stuff. But in your opinion, what was the first Northwest death metal band?
That's going to be hard for me to really answer, because, you know, it's a term that I've used long before what the current death metal style,
sure,
you know, not to put that in quotes necessarily, but, you know, the term has been around for a while to just kind of describe this stuff that was more extreme than the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been around for a while. But let me think. I mean, I could just, you know, say some crap like It's Us.
I mean, I don't know if you'd be wrong. That's why I'm asking.
I mean, there wouldn't be too many people that could call that, but
yeah.
I'm just trying to think back. There were certainly some bands that were going just, you know, a little bit before us, but it was really the time that, you know, so many of the bands, you know, the early death metal bands, you know, Infestor, Blood Ritual,
mm-hmm.
the couple other bands that were, you know, maybe didn't go quite as far, and a couple other people, and, you know, ended up in bigger bands, and, you know, so much of that was starting right then.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone was like, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, everyone's a little bit influenced by each other, mm-hmm. and, you know, picks up ideas and here and there, and everyone's like, you know, trying to show up everyone else just a little bit. And,
yeah,
you know, it's cool. It's cool stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, even back into the late 80s, there were bands playing some pretty, you know, intense stuff, but
yeah,
it's, you know, it is really, I guess, about the, you know, the early 90s when metal vocals in general took a turn for the gurgly, and
yep,
death metal as we know it was kind of born.
I mean, that was a crazy time period, just like looking back. And, you know, I was not into that stuff as I was like 6 years old, so I cannot say. Oh. I guess I was technically there, but I was not, you know, aware of the, you know, everything. But, you know, you had labels as big as like Roadrunner, and then, you know, even some major labels signing or at least distributing, you know, death metal, like legit death metal music. And it must have been a pretty wild time to be like, to see all of that going on, and then with each album going more extreme and more extreme.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Morbid Angel Covenant was on a major label subsidiary. Yeah. And, you know, that didn't last, of course, but that's, you know, it actually got to that point. And, you know, obviously that record is one that, if any, deserves, you know, that sort of profile. That's certainly one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it was all new and shiny. And, you know, so all the labels were like, oh, here's the next big thing. And it's like, yeah. That was kind of the big thing right there. And
exactly.
So, you know, it's got, you know, kind of its, how would I say, you know, like limitations for the general public to appreciate it. You know, it's like a lot of people are just going to be turned off right away by
totally.
You know, hear blast beats and going, what the fuck's that? That's garbage. Turn that off, you know. So it's like there's, you know, I guess a little acquiring the taste, and some people just aren't going to.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so like, you know, the mainstream will quote unquote dabble in that, you know, for a little while, and it'll have its time in the sun, you know, obviously, but the metal will always, you know, be there. And I think it's funny that, I don't think it's funny. I think, I mean, for the, how do I say this? So there's like this general idea, like in the like history books where they say that like metal died in the 90s because mm-hmm. of like glam metal died in the 90s or whatever. But, and they say that like there was only grunge and alternative. But if you look in, a little bit below the surface, there's always been, you know, that underground dirty death metal. And then even on the mainstream, there were even bands like Nevermore that were keeping, you know, Northwest metal alive as far mm-hmm. as like a little bit more on the bigger scale. But so, you know, trends will come and go. But people like you, which I will say you're a lifer, I'll give you that. You're definitely a lifer. Yep. What keeps you, man? Like what's kept you, you know, motivated to keep just grinding it out in the underground with like very niche, but very beloved death metal fans? What's kept you going, man?
Well, that love from the fans is sure one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and there was certainly a time, you know, a little more to the point, it was, or to the question, you know, there was certainly lots of years earlier on when there wasn't so much of that, or, you know, there was here and there, but it's, you know, we're so, you know, unknown or underground or whatever, that it wasn't, you know, that definitely couldn't be a prime motivator. I don't know. It's always just something that we've felt compelled to do, you know, to create, to do this, you know, I still love listening to it. I love to play it. I actually like find myself getting, you know, upset when we don't play for an extended period of time, because it's just such an awesome outlet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we have every intention of basically doing it until we're physically incapable of it.
I love it. And then you just become a doom band, right? When you can't play fast enough, you just slow it down and then you're just a doom band, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, you just have to get someone younger playing drums is what I come down to.
Okay. So, it recently in the last, you know, at least 5 years or so, there's been like such a birth, and I would say even a rebirth of like old school sounding death metal here in the Pacific Northwest. Bands like Oxygen Destroyer, Fetid, Cerebral Rot, yep. mm-hmm. Mortiferum. Does it surprise you to see like such a, you know, a reemergence of this old school death metal stuff, that, you know, a sound that you were around when it originally was a new thing? Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think it's great. All those bands are, you know, you mentioned, are fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing, you know, they do really great jobs of kind of, you know, keeping those styles alive and, you know, adding a little bit of their own life in them. And yeah, I've seen a few of those bands. We played with a few of them.
Yeah.
The more the better, honestly. Anything that helps raise the profile of the bands around here is great. It's, you know, as far as the you know, I guess the sounds coming back or whatever, you know, it's kind of the cycles, you know, the people listening to what was, you know, popular long ago and deciding, I mean, long ago, right? You know, but before now or whatever,
yeah,
looking to that for inspiration. And you know, that's honestly great that anyone does something like that, you know, with the kind of you know, I guess I might say purity that they're doing, because now it's so easy, it's just a click of a button to get to listen to pretty much anything that's ever been recorded. And, you know, there isn't like it used to be when you were exposed to, you know, what your parents and your brothers and your friends listen to and what you read about in the magazines and everything else. It's completely different. And so then there's more people that are inclined to take, you know, this and that and the other thing and put them together in some crazy new thing to make themselves feel like they're being creative. And once in a while it turns out great, but more often, you know, at least to me, that kind of turns out like crap, because I'd just rather hear some killer, you know, killer death or evil black.
Yeah.
Out of, you know, other stuff mixed with that.
So, you know, being that, you know, you've been involved in this scene for 25 plus years, or even longer than that, what are some bands that you think, you know, and whether it be Pacific Northwest or just metal bands in general, and it doesn't have to be, you know, specifically one genre, but bands or albums that you can think of that maybe were overlooked, or maybe, you know, things that you go back to and you love, but didn't really get too much shine, whether it because they broke up or just didn't get that popular. Are there anything that come to mind?
Well, there's a couple of things that, I guess, kind of random things that come to the front of my mind. Sure. One thing is, just in terms of things that kind of get missed or under the radar. I was thinking earlier about band from Canada called Phobocosm.
Never heard of them.
They are fucking killer. They're like, they're kind of, I'd say doom death, but they've got more death than you'd think of as doom.
Okay.
Maybe it's maybe a little bit similar to if it was a doomier Drawn and Quartered.
Cool.
Perhaps. They've got an album and a full and an album and an EP, and they're both killer. I'd tell anyone that loves, you know, killer old school death metal to check them out.
Phobocosm, nice.
And then Phobocosm. And then I was just thinking, when you mentioned local, one thing that came right to mind, and it's not that they're like underrated, but Culprit.
Yeah.
Guilt Killer. Charged. Saw those guys tons of times when I was a kid.
Yep.
Tells you all who I am. But yeah, they're awesome. I'm glad that there's been some people that have been putting their album back in print from time to time, so that, you know, the new generation that dig that, you know, early 80s heavy
stuff
can check it out.
There's a guy, James Beach, who put out a really cool book that was called Rusted Metal. It was like a 900-page document of the Pacific Northwest metal scene throughout the, you know, the 80s and the early 90s. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen the book. I've seen about it, though. I want to check it out, because that's like that sounds like my, you know, sounds like my growing up, basically.
I was going to ask you, did you ever get to go to any of those metal fests over in Bellevue, over at the skating rink or anything like that, with like Queensryche and those kind of stuff bands?
I did. That's actually one of the first local things I got to go see was, I don't remember exactly what it was called. It might've been, you know, they might've called it a Northwest Metal Fest or something.
Yeah.
It had Culprit. It had TKO. It had Myth, Jeff Tate's band before Queensryche.
Wow. Okay. Now you're going back.
Yeah. I'm really, really aging myself here, but whatever.
I like it.
The Wild Dogs from Portland.
Yes.
Also were on that, which was kind of a late addition for another band that canceled out. So that was, you know, obviously mind blowing for, you know, a teenager. And, then I saw later, actually, I'm probably confusing names. I think it was also the Northwest Metal Fest, or this one was. That was at the Moore Theater that Metal Church headlined.
Nice. R.I.P. Mike Howe.
What's that?
I said R.I.P. Mike Howe.
Yep, indeed. And RIP Dave Wayne previously.
So being that, you know, you've gone through, you know, all these old school, you know, metal fests and whatnot, I'm sure you've seen venues and all ages and 21 over, you know, spaces come and go, whether it be, you know, the Phoenix Underground or the Gorilla Gardens. What are some old venues that you loved growing up? Some stuff that you wish you could go to a show or two again?
Some obvious ones that come to mind are the Lake Union Pub, where all our first shows and all the first underground shows of that time were, pretty much all of them. Mountaineers, or sometimes called the Norway Center, which was by like southwest of Seattle Center, kind of right down there by Elliott. And okay. That I saw Slayer the first couple times, as well as like lots of other shows at the time. Like, yeah. I don't remember all of them. Exciter, Exodus, and Megadeth was another killer one. That was Exodus and Megadeth's first records. So, yeah, got to see a lot of like that.
And my last old school question for you, did you ever get to listen to Brain Pain on KCMU?
Yes, I did.
Awesome.
Yep, I listened to Brain Pain a lot. There were a few years that a bunch of people would always get together and have basically a party at, that was actually Bitter End, the band from the local band, their party house at the time. And there would be campaign parties, and we would all get together and drink cheap crap and listen to Brain Pain. And we'd call in and tell them to play. And it was good times.
I'm not trying to have any shade on any of the former Metal Shop hosts or anything, but from what I understand, up until the point where Kevin and Steve started hosting, it wasn't too brutal. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty much true.
And then Kevin and Steve came on and they told me that their first song was Slit Your Guts by Cryptopsy. So, you know, it's
a solid start.
Exactly. So I'm curious about, what have been some of your favorite Northwest metal bands throughout the years? You know, whether any genre of metal, favorite Northwest bands?
Well, there's definitely some killer ones. Let's see. Just kind of thinking through, we've got Armorous from Victoria, BC, from the late 80s. Fucking killers. Obviously, lots of newer stuff like Mitochondrion, thing that along those lines, old stuff like Blasphemy, etc.
Yeah.
A little closer to home, Inquisition is an obvious one. Mm-hmm. Always be a fan of Thy Infernal. Mm-hmm. Portland, much lesser known Portland band from the time, was Wraithen, which had some former members of that band, and did a couple of really sick demos of raging 90s blast beat black metal.
Man, I feel like your CD and record collection would just be epic as far as just all the Northwest stuff you've probably gathered throughout the years.
I've got a pretty good assortment of shit.
Nice, dude. I like it.
I'd also be remiss if I didn't name check Forced Entry, obviously.
I was gifted a pin from Kathy Faulkner. She gave me a Forced Entry pin. And I was like, yes, you can't find any t-shirts. I got a record when KISW moved studios years ago, like 5 years ago. They were giving away pretty much all their old vinyl. And I got a freaking Forced Entry Uncertain Future record. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was very awesome.
Oh yeah. And I should not mention Nevermore and Sanctuary as well.
Yes. R.I.P. Worl Dane. I feel like,
yep.
Damn.
Good friend of mine.
Iconic voice.
Yes, indeed. Unbelievable voice.
So again, I appreciate you taking the time to chat, Herb. I just have a couple more questions for you. One, kind of a goofy question, but if you could show us, but if not, it's fine. Tell us at least. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
You know, I could do that.
Okay.
I'll have to take off my hoodie, which is not that big of a deal here, but this means I have to move around and all that. Sure. So I've got this here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Arm, which is pretty well healed.
Yeah, but it's
a little bit up that's up here too. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, we could see that. Yeah.
Excellent. The moral of the story there is know your limits. And if you are in a bathroom you're not familiar with at an after party, you might want to make sure that there isn't an exposed hot water pipe, just in case you lose your balance. Let's say that.
And you probably, I'm assuming, you know, at that point, if you're in an after party, you're not in the best state of mind to be handling an emergency like that.
I didn't even realize it was until
Jesus.
I got to work that next like Monday and someone there saw it and flipped out. It's like, what the hell did you do? I didn't, you know.
Brutal. How long ago was that?
Years. That was 30 years ago or something, probably.
And at that point, you probably can't get stitches because it's, you know, already probably kind of healing. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So damn, dude. All right. Quite a story. So that's good. Good. Word to the wise. I appreciate it. I'll make sure not to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So obviously things are, you know, kind of starting to open up with some restriction and whatnot. You guys have the album out now, Congregation Pestilence. Aside from the Northwest Terror Fest 2022, do you guys have any plans to, you know, do you guys have any plans other than that?
Nothing definite. We've definitely got aspirations to, you know, have a whole lot after that.
Yeah.
We probably won't plan anything before that. Just so we can be fully ready for that show.
Yeah.
Finishing up some other work that we're trying to get done right now. It'll also be pretty awesome that we'll have a couple of local fests to bookend the Plague of Death, since the last show we played before was the Hail Satan Santa show at the Highline in
RIP
December of 19.
Yep. RIP the Highline. God damn it. This conversation is getting dark.
I know.
But well, we look forward to that, obviously. So you can get your tickets to Northwest Terror Fest now, 2022. You guys are going to be playing with everyone from Suffocation to Ludicra. So it's going to be awesome festival. A few days.
Yeah. So you probably better get your tickets now.
Yeah. It's going to sell out. That's going to sell out. So definitely make sure to get that. I think it'd be cool if we could play a song from the album. Do you want to pick a song from the record, Congregation Pestilence? You want to jump into one of them?
Why don't we play one that is a little bit of strange but killer, to Oblivion Pilgrimage.
All right, here it is. Thanks a lot, man. And again, Herb, from the band Drawn and Quartered, Congregation Pestilence, here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.